This morning, I want to share with you a sermon that I've titled, What Will It Take? What Will It Take? It's going to come out of the book of Amos. We don't do a lot of preaching out of the book of Amos, and we probably should. Because Amos, he's quite a character. He was a real firebrand, let me tell you. God called him out of the Judean desert, and he was a sheep herder. And he supplemented his income by tending fig trees. And so God laid a call upon his heart and life to come into the ministry that he wanted him to do. Amos was the perfect one for this because he's one of these blue-collar preachers, okay? And what I mean by that is he didn't care about the words he used. He only cared about getting the point across. And they loved him to begin with in Israel. They loved him. That's because he was preaching about all the nations around him. Isn't that how we like that? We love when the preacher talks about everybody else. Well, his popularity fell real quick when he started preaching to them. And what God called him to do specifically is to preach to the people about their injustices towards one another. This sounds like the perfect sermon for today, if you ask me, for our nation, our country, and our world. There's no greater injustice being done today by the thousands and thousands of babies that are being murdered and slaughtered and euthanasia and, just one thing after another. Sounds like there's a lot of injustice going. You can't go to the courts and get any satisfaction because they're just as corrupt as they were in the day that Amos was called forward. When we think about this, I want us to think about what is it going to take for God to do to get people's attention. Don't mention prosperity. In fact, God promised he would bless the nation of Israel, and he did, mightily. But like what prosperity does, and money does so many times, the more you get, the more you want. And the more you want, the more you're willing to do to get whatever it is you want, even to the taking advantage of the poor and others around you. That's the injustice that God abhors, because we're to be compassionate and loving and caring, especially when he blesses us. Our nation has been a blessed nation, but we're not a compassionate nation anymore. Only if it serves a purpose, that's when we become compassionate. Only when it's going to serve an agenda are we going to do what we think is the right thing to do. That's not what Scripture teaches us. That should be our heart's desire. That should be implanted on the inside of our hearts to care and love others. Yes, and even those that are outside of the camp. Israel was called to be the missionaries of the world. And they failed more than once, because they despised everybody else but themselves. And they demonstrated that by not taking the word to anybody but themselves, but instead adopting all kinds of pagan gods within their own system. Praising those gods for their prosperity instead of the God of all creation and all heaven and earth. God sent Amos after he warned the nations around them to warn Israel, to let them know what he has already done, to try to bring them back to him. So many have the idea that God is a wrathful God just waiting for the opportunity to bring his wrath upon us and punish us. If that was the case, let me tell you, there wouldn't be a one of us sitting in this church today. The minute we failed, the minute we sinned, we'd be taken out if that's all God was here to do. It isn't about that. It's about bringing us back to Him. It's about seeing where we come from. It's about seeing to whom we serve. One of these days I'm going to preach a sermon. I just didn't have it ready this morning. That I want to use a song for the base of my introduction. And some of you may have heard it. And that song is entitled, I Choose Christ. And that song is sung by Karen Peck and the New River. It's gospel. And let me tell you, that song, if that don't lay you out, nothing will. Because regardless, we all got plans for our lives, right? We all have a trail that we're going down, whether it be dusty or not. We're headed down that trail. I believe every one of us in here, as we have tried to go down that path that we thought we should be going on, there have been potholes, been ruts, been obstacles, things that we've stumbled over, and just plain could not make it happen. Well, you know what? The crux of this song is simple. I am not going to give up. I'm going to continue down the road. But the whole thing is, I am going to trust, I'm going to believe in Christ, and I'm going to choose His path. That's the message, choosing His path. You see, Israel didn't choose the path. Joshua said it. Joshua said it in the last chapter of his book, Joshua, when he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He chose the Lord. We got to make that same kind of a decision. We got to make that same statement today. The problem with Christianity today is they haven't made a real solid choice. They flitter from one thing to another. There's no foundation. We're just kind of floating along. We can't float along any longer. God demonstrated what He would do to bring Israel back to Him. He won't stand for injustice. He won't stand for thievery. He won't stand for robbing one another and robbing other nations and robbing and just stealing and murdering and killing. He won't stand for that. Injustice. So what does Amos preach to them? Well, if we look in Amos chapter 4, I want to begin reading verse 6 through 13. Listen carefully as I finish this chapter up. Because this chapter is about Israel not willing to accept God's correction. Does that sound familiar today? We only accept what we think is good from God, but we don't want to accept any correction because we shouldn't have to be corrected. It should be our way and only our way. Well, it isn't that way. I was bought with a price to serve my God His way. And so were you. Look what he says here. He says, also I give you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and lack of bread in all your places. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. I also withheld rain from you where there were still 3 months to the harvest. I made it rain on one city. I withheld rain from another city. One part was rained upon, and where it did not rain, that part withered. So two or three cities wandered to another city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. I blasted you with blight and mildew when your gardens increased, your vineyards, your fig trees, and your olive trees. The locusts devoured them. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. I sent among you a plague after the manner of Egypt. Your young men I killed with the sword. Along with your captive horses, I made the stench of your camps come up into your nostrils. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. I overthrew some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And you were like a firebrand plucked from the burning. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. For behold, he who forms mountains and creates the wind, who declares to man what his thought is and makes the morning darkness, who treads the high places of the earth, the Lord God of hosts is his name. Let us pray. My Father and my God, I truly want to thank you, Lord, for this day. I want to thank you for this opportunity to be here and to share in this message, Lord Jesus. A message that I pray will sit upon the hearts of each and every one of us, Lord God. That we need to understand that our country, our nation, not just the nations around us, but we are in jeopardy because of the lack of our faith, because of the disobedience of our hearts. And I'm talking about the church. Oh, Lord God, may we truly repent. May we truly return and come back to you, Lord God, with a full heart, a worshipful heart, a loving heart, and a kind heart, and a just heart. Lord God, I praise you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In this passage, it is evident of one thing. First of all, we can see the power of God. There is nothing outside of his hand. He can create and call anything into being that he chooses to, okay? Our world today says it's all about the El Niño and the El Niño and all this other kind of technological stuff of why earthquakes happen and volcanoes blow up and stars are disappearing out of the skies and all this stuff. I'm here to tell you, God knows everything about his creation. He knows every star that falls. He knows every sparrow that hits the ground. And he knows every drop of water and where it goes. It is commanded by him. So forget about all this stuff. That's why they still can't predict the weather. I mean, it's block-to-block weather forecast at best. They don't know. They're guessing. God knows. God is willing. Now get this, if you get nothing else. God is willing to do whatever it takes to get his people's attention. Do I hear an amen? Amen. He will do whatever it takes. Israel, they had a covenant with God. That covenant is that they were his children. Guess what? We who have received Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have a covenant with him. We can think we can walk in disobedience and get by with disobedience, but we can't. God will do whatever it takes to get our attention. And I think he's already doing some of these things in this world today. The first thing talked about is famine. That's why the clean teeth remark. Because they didn't have anything to wallow between their chops. They were hungry. Anybody in here ever really, really been hungry? Think about it. I mean, where you thought you were so hungry, your throat had been slit. Oh, we all come. Some of our kids come in and say, man, Mom, I'm starved. Dad, I'm starved. No, you don't know what being starved is yet. But God removed from them the food that take to sustain life. Why did he do that? He didn't do that to punish them. He said, I am bringing this about to you so that you will return to me. That's all God was asking from them. And that's what he's asking from us. That's what he's asking from the real church today, that we would return to him. And do not think for a moment that famine cannot be and is not a part of this world system today. There are other nations that are starving because of famine. Nations that have abandoned God. where God once flourished. These nations are a mess, just like America is becoming. And it's becoming a mess because we are trying to take God out of everything. I remember when I was sitting in sixth grade class, which for many of you is a long time ago, okay? And I remember sitting in there, and the principal came room to room and made the big announcement that we could no longer pray in school. Well, to some of us, that was a real big deal. Because you know what? We prayed. And when we had our assembly, we prayed. And now no longer. Now you can't have anything reflecting the Ten Commandments, but you can have all other kinds of junk on the walls. But nothing that would bring a moral conscience to people. Can't have that. Is it any wonder that there's no justice in our world today? Is there any wonder that the shootings and the killings and there's absolutely no refrain of evil? People want to blame the object instead of the person. Go ahead. Take all the guns away from law-abiding citizens and murderers will still murder. And they will still kill. And even if you got their guns, I remember Cain using a rock. Okay? Are they going to go around and take every rock out of Arizona so that somebody can't be punished or killed with it? You know they can't. So you see where man's thinking is gone? Just like Israel. We have gone the way. Famine. We know that in Revelation that there in the last days are going to be times of famine that this world has never seen or experienced before, nor will ever experience again. I like what the Bible says. I love what the Bible says. And it says, if it weren't for those days being shortened, there would be no life left. Amen? No life left. So God is going to shorten them, but we're working our way that direction. And I know, I know what a lot of people think. Well, you're not preaching that wonderful, positive, scratch me on the back, behind the ear, make me feel good kind of message. Well, you know what? This isn't the time for it. Amos, if they wanted that kind of sermon, he wasn't the one God would have called for it, let me tell you. I would rather shoot straight with you from God's word than to make you feel good about something that is coming our way that we're not prepared for. Amen? You see, famine is real. People are dying all over this world because of a lack of food. Religions that keep you from eating the food that you have because of Uncle Ben or something else. When this world could be, have food for the starving, but they don't. You see, it isn't about religion I'm talking about. And it wasn't about Judaism as a religion that he was preaching about. It was about the people and their hearts and where they were. And that's what I'm talking about. I do believe when I've heard religion has been the one item to cause more wars and disruptions in civility than anything else. And that's true. Not Christianity, but religion. Are we prepared for the famine to come? We're not. Then my question is, are we prepared to return? Will we return to our God? You know, the second thing that he told me, he says, I have brought a drought to you. I made it rain a little bit in one city and forego raining in two other cities, and everybody flocks to the one city and they weren't satisfied because there wasn't enough. It doesn't take long to get thirsty in Arizona. You all know that. In fact, everybody that I see usually has some kind of a jug, a water bottle, or something that they carry around with them because you can dehydrate real quick. Well, let me tell you, Judah and those places, Judah and Israel, they also had deserts. No water, of course, no food. No water, no sustenance. You can go 40 days, they say, without food. And that's the amount of time that Jesus went into the desert without food. But you can't without water. You will die without water. But they still didn't get it. They still didn't get it. And God, through Amos, is saying, I control the weather. Why don't you let me control you? Why don't you let me be your God? Isn't that question appropriate for us? He controls the weather. He controls the growth. He controls the figs on the tree and the apples that are in the orchard. God controls those things. Why do we stand cold and hard-hearted against Him and still want to receive our blessings? You see, that was Israel's real problem. Their hearts were waxed over cold. Oh, they did all their ceremonial stuff. They had the temple. They offered their sacrifices. Of course, you understand that the Asherah pole was in there next to the ark. A false god, pagan god. It's like you've heard me say about the one guy, you know, I guess I'm going to just be baptized in every religion there is because one of them's got to be right. So I guess if there's more than 72,000 gods, let's just worship them all. One of them's got to be right. I don't have to do that because I know which one's right. Amen? We know which one is right. He is the one that says, I have done this to you. All I'm asking is to return and come back to me. You know, it reminds me sitting in with a husband and a wife. And they're having a very, very difficult time. And one wants out and the other wants to stay in. And I've sat there and listened to the one that's hard-hearted that says, I just want out. I want to go my way, live my life my way, do things my way. And the husband or wife is saying, I'm just asking to stay. I'm just asking you to come back to me. I'm just asking you to let me show you how much I love you. That's what I think of when I see that scripture. That's what God is pleading. Let me show you I love you again. Open your hearts to me. But no. Israel was the cold, hard-hearted spouse that decided to walk down the pathway and leave everything behind. All the work, all the blessings, all the wonderful gifts that that other had given. God is the church, is the spouse of the church through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He's saying, return to me. Come back to me because I love you so much. Do we see that? Do we understand that? We got famine. We got water, no water. See, God is the ultimate weather station. In the third thing that He says, He talks about pestilence, mildew. Do we not have pestilences in our world today? Oh, man. Pestilence is another word for disease. You know why we have the majority of diseases we have today? Because of disobedience to the things that we know are natural and the things that we should be doing. Uh-oh. I shouldn't be talking like that. It's all relative. Anybody can do anything that they want to do in any way that they want to do it. It's all okay. No, it's not. It's not all okay. There are consequences for sin, which we're learning about in the book of David, in the Psalms. And they can be long-lasting. And the saddest part is that it influences and affects our families. Our children, I understand where he talked about it affecting a family from generation to generation to generation. We have to be the ones to stop it. Diseases? We wouldn't be in the money crunch that we were in if we weren't trying to make and develop cures for ungodly diseases that exist out there. Yeah, that's right. Millions and millions of dollars. Let's just throw more money at it, because we'll find a cure someday. Yeah, my cure is when I die and go to heaven. Hallelujah and amen to that. The only thing I ask the Lord, if I get whatever it is that's going to take me out, please make it quick. I don't want to suffer a whole lot, okay? But I'll let God be the make the choice of that, okay? He wants his bride to return to them, to him. He wants us to come back. You know what it means to come back? It means to be faithful to God. Oh, faithful. What a word that isn't used in this world very much. Faithfulness in relationship between husband and wife. Faithfulness to kids, to parents, and parents to children, and to grandparents. And oh, they had it down. They took care of one another. You can blame it on our transient society if you want to, but it's more than that. It's more than that. It's not a physical condition. It's an internal heart condition. Because families were taught and raised since the late 40s that we got to take care of ourselves, that that's all we're responsible for. Of course, the Jews did it too when they didn't want to give the inheritance to their parents to help take of them, so they pretended and made up some kind of a mission activity gift to give it to, just so they could bypass that. So it's nothing new. How we can make up things to not take responsibility for the things that God calls just. Just. You know, I don't think we, as Christians, should necessarily picket. I don't think we should necessarily protest, because that gets an immediate response for a short time. But do you know what I think we as Christians need to do? Is open up and talk to everybody that opens up and wants to know about how we believe and what we see things being. Everything. You understand what I'm saying? We take opportunity one-on-one every time we can. So there's no doubt we got pestilences, epidemics all over this world. All God said is, all I want you to do is return to me. The fourth thing he talks about here simply is death. War. War so bad. God actually turning against them himself, like he punished Sodom and Gomorrah. The stench so bad, you could smell the camp for miles because of the death. But even death didn't break their hearts. Even the stench didn't break their hearts. Oh no. They stood in the coldness and the stubbornness of their own way and denied God his place in their lives, which is exactly what so many do in the church today. They only want to trust him and believe him in a way that is going to satisfy their own personal lives. Not all the way. You see, I believe we need to be sold out to Jesus. Lock, stock, and barrel. Everything that we are, everything that we're going to be, and everything that we're doing should be sold out to him. War? Well, we're about to see what war is going to be like. We're about to see that. Wars, like Jesus said, there will be wars and rumors of wars in those last days. So, my friend, don't be surprised. Be prepared. Be prepared. And all God says is, return to me. I do this, O Israel, so that you would return to me. My friend, listen carefully. If there is any one of us, and I've questioned myself, so I'm not asking this question of you that I'm not asking myself. Is there any one place in your life and in your heart that is not surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean all of it. Not 9 out of 10, I mean 10 out of 10. Because God demands it all. We're keeping that little bit for ourselves. It's not going to work. It's not enough. He died 100% on that cross for our sin. He shed His blood 100% for our sin. He died 100% on that cross as they took Him down. He wasn't just wounded, like many try to say He was. He was dead. And to make sure they stuck the spear right up under His heart. To make sure. And He was dead. But they can't keep the Son of God down in a grave. Up from the grave He arose. Amen. Victory over His foes. Amen. Are we sold out to Jesus this morning? Let us hear the words of God's word. You don't have to pay attention to me. Pay attention to Him. Because He loves you. And all He is saying, if we're stubborn, hard-hearted, and solid rocked in our ways, return to me while you still can. Because famine, no water, disease, and death is coming. It's already here in so much fashion, but it's coming even worse upon us. So, as we prepare for our invitation this morning, I want to ask you, are you ready when you and I are taken from this world to stand before our God? We're not going to stand perfect because we can't be, but we can stand in Jesus Christ. That's who I'm standing in. But I want to serve Him here. How about you? You want to give Him all you got? Then give Him all you got. And don't wait any longer. Don't wait till the trouble hits. And then say, now what do I do? We know what to do. Would you bow your heads with me, please?